Welcome back to Equal Time. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and it sure was good to hear Ed Smith plugging his new show with Ken Squire on Saturdays at 12:30 to 1:30 in the garden. Get all your gardening questions answered. Ed Smith, of course, is the author of The Vegetable Gardener's Bible. He lives in Cabot. He knows what it's like to garden in Vermont conditions. I've had him on this show in the past. He certainly knows whereof he speaks. And I understand he's also going to be on in the mornings at 6:20 a.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays coming up. So looking forward to having Ed Smith join us here on WDEV. Full disclosure, the next segment of this show is about a group that I've been involved in fairly heavily since it began back in January. We call the group the Apple Corps. Apple stands for the Association for, Joanne, help me out with it. Hello, Joanne? Joanne, darling, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay. Help me out with APPLE. It stands for the Association for the Planting of Edible Public Landscapes for Everyone. Is that correct?
Yes, it does.
Okay. It's a hard one
You're
for us to keep in our
head. Today.
I'm not wearing the T-shirt that we got last week. And the Corps is spelled C-O-R-P-S. So it's the Apple Corps. And Joanne, darling, one of the founding members of Apple Corps, welcome to the show.
Thank you for asking me, Carl.
And we also have on the line, joining us from Maine, Roger Dwaran, the founding director of Kitchen Gardeners International. Roger, welcome.
Good afternoon to you both.
Looking forward to talking with you about other vegetable gardens in public landscapes around the country and around the world. So, Joanne, tell us about how you first got involved in this idea to plant vegetables on the State House lawn and why you thought it was important.
Well, Glenn and I had a conversation about it prior.
Glenn is another member, founding Glenn member of another, the Apple Corps.
Yes.
Glenn
and,
Shearer.
I thought it was a great idea. And so when we went to the Transition Town meeting, there were topics for discussion and group gatherings. And it was a hard pick because I was also interested in all of the subjects that were going on. But this one drew me because of the energy that came around it, and I actually felt it was quite doable at the time. but it has turned out to be very doable. And I was looking at it more as a gardener and a planter and not being aware of the politics and the other parts of it, which is why this group was, I thought, is so unique, and I've learned so much from it because everybody brought a wonderful skill and talent to it, and I really think that's part of one of the driving forces why this came together in about 100 days.
It's interesting that you use the word doable to describe it when you thought about it first at the Transition Town Montpelier meeting in January, because Glenn Shearer, who you also mentioned, he's recently moved up here from New Jersey, and he's repeatedly shaken his head during this process and said, boy, in New Jersey, we'd just be meeting with no, no, no when we tried to do this. And here we're greeted with open arms.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It was, from my opinion, working with David is wonderful. Ira, the groundskeeper, actually, I received a letter today thanking us for doing that, how much he's, let me get it out here and read it. It was a really heartfelt note from him.
From Ira Moser, the groundskeeper?
Yeah, I just received it today. It says, great plants, great gardening, great article in the Free Press. He sent me a clipping to share with my friends and family. And he says, I'm a big supporter of the greening of Vermont. All the best, Ira.
Oh, that's sweet. And David, who you mentioned, is David Sheets. He's the curator of the State House and of state buildings in general. And he's been a joy to work with.
He has, certainly.
Well, let's talk about exactly what the extent of this food garden is on the State House lawn. Could you describe it?
What I had come up with is a three-season planting. And
Let's talk about what it looks like just geographically first.
Oh, okay. Well, it's on the upper part of the lawn as it starts sloping up, and it follows the two walkways on, I think, the first level of the steps, and we're calling it the Crescent Gardens because they curve on both sides. They're identical on both sides. At the time they were planted, or right now, originally they were planted with the spirea bushes. And another thing that made this all come together so well and received so well was state budget cuts in the grounds. And we had this open space, and it ended up being about 3 feet on both sides, 70-foot beds. So we had a total of 140 linear feet by 3 feet wide. And we packed a great amount of vegetables into that. And the spring garden, of course, focuses on the coal crop and peas and beans and carrots. And Montpelier High School students came together and planted our lettuce start. So we were really happy that we could include them. And they planted it with us last Thursday on the 14th. And a colorful blend. And so it's just going to look beautiful. I just can't wait for people to see how beautiful vegetable garden can really be.
Well, it's important to emphasize that this vegetable garden is being planted where flowers have been planted in the past. So we're tilling up no new ground in the state house, and frisbee players can be confident that they'll be able to keep using the open space there for playing frisbee. In fact, since it has been used for flowers in the past, then we are hopeful that it will get through the season without a lot of trampling from the Independence Day fireworks celebration and the many other gatherings on the state house lawn. And from the times that we've observed it during crowds gathering in the past month in the state house lawn, this area is just up enough off of the main green that it hasn't gotten many people coming near it. We hope that the vegetables will attract more people to come near it and look at it, but we don't think it'll be tempting to be stepping or sitting on them.
Yeah, that's our hope. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to,
And Roger Duaron, who's founding director of Kitchen Gardeners International, we turned to you when we were wondering, are we really going to be the first in the nation with a state house having a vegetable garden? And we're pleased to hear that that's probably the case.
Yes, congratulations. To my knowledge, you are the first, and I think it's wonderful that you've gone ahead and done this, and you're inspiring more people than you probably know.
I was surprised to see something out in Durango, Colorado, a week or so ago about this and the race to get the first one in, because we're racing California for a while.
Well, I think that's exactly the type of competitions that we need to have more of. Mm. I'd like to see the different states and the governors, you know, entering into some friendly competition to see who can eat the best and the closest and with the least amount of negative impact on the environment. So I think this is really what we need to be doing and when we need to be doing it. So I'm really excited that it's coming out of Vermont. As a Mainer, I like to think that, you know, we up in the Northeast have figured a few things out, and I think this is proof that we did that.
And in Maine, you have a governor's mansion, apparently, which we don't have in Vermont, but there you've seen some public landscape being used for vegetable gardening for some years now, right?
That's correct. The first family of Maine, the Baldacci's, have been eating out of a backyard garden pretty much since they moved into the mansion. It was actually a really good story because First Lady Karen Baldacci is the true hero or heroine in this story, in that she decided that they were, as a family, going to be living in the mansion or the governor's residence, and she actually came across, just while she was going through some different materials while in the house, a plan of the original garden, and saw that there were indeed edibles planted there initially. And for her, it was just about trying to, you know, get things back the way they should be. And, you know, little by little over the years, she's really managed to do a wonderful job there. And it's the type of thing that, as I said before, it's just inspiring for people to see that it can be done. You can say, well, is that the best use of public resources? And, you know, people could argue what the best use of public resources would be. But I do know that she's managed to do that because it's a personal passion of hers. But she's also brought master gardeners from the area into the project, And that's a way to really make something like this doable. That I did catch Joanne using the term doable, and I think these really are doable projects. The resources for them are out there in the form of companies that are prepared to donate some seeds and individuals that are prepared to donate their time. So it really just comes down to actually making the decision that we're going to go ahead and do this. And it was such a wonderful piece of news when we heard, of course, back in March that First Lady Michelle Obama was going to take this project on at the national level, because I think that's exactly the type of thing, along with the new State House Garden in Vermont, that manages to reach people and resonate with people. And it gets them thinking, well, here's a case where our leaders are really leading by example. And, maybe I can do a little bit of this in my own front yard or backyard or in my son or daughter's schoolyard, or maybe there's a retirement home in my community where I can get involved, or a prison, you name it. Just there are all kinds of public landscapes that are out there that are not exactly serving the public as well and as much as they could. So I'd love to get more people thinking with us about looking at those landscapes and seeing who could get involved, and how we might feed some people some healthy food from those landscapes.
Joanne Darling has her own nursery, Gardens of Seven Gables, to plant, and her own gardens to plant. So we told her that we wouldn't keep her too long here, but want to keep you around just for a couple more minutes. Joanne, I'll give out the phone number one more time in case people want to talk to you. 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. And Joanne, you mentioned the two plantings, the spring and the summer planting. There's also a fall planting that you designed for this State House vegetable garden.
Yeah, and it was to keep the whole thing looking fresh and moving and making the best use of the space that we had. So the spring planting, when the carrots and beets and mainly the peas are harvested, we have replacements of peppers and beans, and I'm also going to put in, we're also going to be putting in alyssum and marigolds, and those are beneficials, actually, so we'll have a little color in there, but they'll serve as a dual purpose, the alyssum drawing in beneficial hoverflies to feed off aphids, and the marigolds take care of nematodes in the soil. And so we didn't want to use any, or we aren't allowed to use any pesticides or any chemicals, according to the state. And we were happy to learn that they have a no rule for not using that.
We'll probably get a letter from Crop Life International or somebody about that, just like Michelle Obama did for calling her garden organic. But okay, that's what we're working with.
So this is where the educational piece of this comes in, to reach out to people and say, you can do this without using chemicals that are harmful to the environment, and just through proper management of your garden. And it's really wonderful. And I also want to say that when we're talking about planting public spaces anywhere, everywhere, that it doesn't matter whether how big or small the project it is, that it makes a difference. It's all good. If you're donating even 5 cucumbers to the food bank, that's like five families you can that will be touched by what you're doing.
And that is the fate of the food that's harvested from the State House lawn. It will be given to the Montpelier Food Pantry.
Right.
Okay, anything else to add, Joanne Darling?
No, I'm just so happy to be part of this.
Joanne Darling of Gardens of Seven Gables in Barrytown and head gardener for the State House Vegetable Garden Project. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Roger, you've been working on projects like this for a while. You want to tell us about the Eat the View campaign that Kitchen Gardeners International started?
Sure. Well, our campaign really began back at the beginning of 2008, we were looking for a way of trying to move this issue of edible landscaping into the public view, into the public discourse. more than it had been in the past, and we were certainly aware of some of the wonderful work that's been done over the years in this area, notably by Chef Alice Waters out on the West Coast with her Edible Schoolyard project. And we thought that there was an opportunity with the presidential elections to introduce this into the public discourse and to build some energy around it. We, of course, had no clue, like everyone, about who that next president would be, but we thought at least it was something worth trying for. So over the course of 2008 and the beginning of 2009, we did a number of things that that seems to have had an impact in that we got a lot of media attention for our campaign. We did a lot of things online in terms of viral videos, and ultimately I was able to speak directly with some members of Michelle Obama's staff at the start of this year to just explain to them in greater detail why we thought this was so important and answered some of their questions. So our campaign has really been very much focused on the White House just because it's such a prominent landscape. It's our most emblematic patch of land, I think, in the United States. And somebody recently called us, the Eat the View campaign, the dog that caught the car.
now what do you do with it?
Yeah. Well,
congratulations on catching that car.
Well, I think what I tell people is, you know, maybe we need to start looking for a train. You know, just be ambitious and set ambitious goals. And, you know, I think as, you know, answering the question, what do we do next? Well, you know, we've got the attention. And we can use that attention to get more of these gardens planted in other parts of the United States and other parts of the world. So that's, I think, what we do now with as the dog with the car in its mouth, as we, you know, show our swagger a little bit and realize that, you know, we managed to pull off something pretty amazing. And it speaks to the power, I think, of the, you know, what some people call the good food movement, this movement towards foods that taste good but are also good for our health and good for the health of the planet.
Now, there was also in that, thinking about the White House vegetable garden, there was also something called the White House Farm Project. A couple of guys started in Vermont with a topsy-turvy bus they borrowed from Ben & Jerry's on a cross-country mission to convince the new president to establish an organic farm at the White House. Was that something that was connected with Eat the View, or was that grown up separately?
Well, I'd like to think that we sort of inspired their effort because I was in touch with the couple of guys who were behind that project a few months before they started on their excellent adventure. So I think in the end, you could say that it was all part of this larger movement to get edibles back on the White House lawn. You know, as I said, we started up our campaign at the beginning of January. I think they finally hit the road in about August, but it wasn't a competition whatsoever. It was really a good collaboration where we were kind of playing off of each other's efforts and I think reaching more people together than we would have reached separately.
Well, as we started talking to people here in Vermont about growing vegetables in the Statehouse garden, one of the groups that we first turned to was Foodworks in Montpelier, and Joseph Kiefer there, the co-director, told us that he had worked with the Main Street Middle School in Montpelier on a project in 1988 where the sixth graders looked forward to the far-off distant year 2000 to think about what Montpelier might look like in terms of an edible foodscape. And one of the things that they came up with in their dream for the year 2000 was growing food on the Statehouse garden. So, you know, whatever idea you come up with, it's not, you don't have to go too far before you found people quite a ways before who've been thinking about the same thing.
Well, I think that's definitely the case with the White House garden campaign. There were so many people that had been thinking about this, and what we simply tried to do was really create a bit of a voice for the people, the different people who wanted to make this happen, but perhaps felt like individually they were not, you know, well connected enough or didn't have that powerful booming voice that they needed to get it done. But as you know, as your experience with the Apple Corps shows, that you don't necessarily need a huge group of people to make something happen. It just, you need a small committed group who are compelling enough in their communications and in what they're trying to achieve that they can reach out beyond their small group and get some other people involved. So I think that's what it really comes down to, whether we're talking about re-landscaping the South Lawn or re-landscaping maybe the front lawn of your child's school. You start by doing something, by getting a few people together and saying, hey, wouldn't that be cool if we were able to do this? Wouldn't that be good for our children? Wouldn't that be good for the community? And just kind of go from there. And as I've said before, the people will appear. The people that you need will appear. And they will bring different types of talents and skills and different types of energy to the project. And before long, you'll be out there with shovels and digging forks.
Well, let me just back up what you're saying there, Roger, with some specifics from our situation here in Vermont. We were half a dozen people who got together in January to figure out how to plant vegetables on the State House garden. And in the course of doing that, we got support from, well, we solicited support from all of the Washington County state senators and Montpelier's state representatives. We got it with no problem. The Office of Vermont Secretary of Agriculture wrote a letter of support for us, and the Secretary of Agriculture himself came out to dedicate it last week and plant some of the first lettuce plants there. Unsolicited by us, the chairs of the House and Senate Agricultural Committees wrote letters of support. The Center for an Agricultural Economy in Hardwick wrote a letter of support. The Northeast Organic Farming Association wrote a letter, as did Berry Community Gardens. And I mentioned Foodworks. It's working as our organizational sponsor. We got a donation of seeds from High Mooring Organic Seeds in Hardwick, who also donated seeds to the White House Organic Garden. Gardener's Supply and Guy's Farm and Yard have given donations of materials. Littlewood Farm in Plainfield and Gardens of Seven Gables in Barry have donated plants. L. Brown and Sons Printing is donating brochures. The New England Grassroots Environmental Fund has asked us to apply for some additional funding from them. And the high school, Montpelier High School, grew the lettuce plants that were planted here. The high school kids came out and helped transplant a bunch of them. And then when the work was done, didn't stick around for the pomp and circumstance on Thursday, just said, we've done our work, and disappeared into the rain. So a lot of, and I'm probably missing a few people. The Capitol Complex Commission, of course, gave us permission to plant the plants there. So a lot of people have been involved in this. David Sheets, people in the Buildings and General Services Department. We've been really pleased by the level of support for this.
Well, you should be. That's an amazing accomplishment, and I think it really speaks to what we were saying, that it begins quite small, not unlike planting a seed, and it's amazing what a little seed can grow into, and I think you're going to be reaping the harvest of that for many years to come in the form of hopefully other public landscapes that will be planted with edible landscapes and school gardens and backyard gardens. We need every single one of them, and there's no such thing as a garden that's too small. Joanne was talking about, you know, even if you get six cucumbers out of a garden, a public garden, you know, that's six cucumbers that wouldn't have been there otherwise. And I think the other thing to emphasize with these public gardens is just their inspirational and educational potential. You're showing a number of people what things look like that they've never seen before growing, like broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. A lot of people just have their only experience with these things is on the shelves of supermarkets, and we need to be able to communicate to people that all of these things grow in our soils and in our climates, and that they can do a little bit of it themselves.
We've got about 60 seconds left. Roger Dwaron, would you tell us about Food Independence Day?
I'd love to. That's our next mini project. We're going to try to get the governors of our nation rallying around the good food cause July 4th weekend. I know in Vermont you tend to celebrate it, I think, on July 3rd. But
well, in Montpelier, it happens at different days all around Vermont.
Okay. Well, any time you decide to celebrate it is the right time. So we're just trying to reach out to people to declare July 4th as a sort of food independence day, eating foods that they produce themselves or source locally, and showing that it can be done and that it's actually a lot of fun and it tastes good and it's good for local economies and our environment. And, you know, making the case to our governors that they could be doing this too, and and by virtue of doing it, really inspiring a lot more people to do it.
You've got a website for that, foodindependenceday.org.
We do. It's a simple little site, but it does what it needs to do. We've got a petition up on the site and a petition up on Facebook, so definitely check it out and spread the word.
Roger Dwaron is the founding director of Kitchen Gardeners International, which is www.kitchengardeners.org. Roger, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Carl. It's fun.
Thanks. Bye. Well, we've had interesting discussions today about how to carve your own road, and you know, sometimes carving your own road means going and planting vegetables where vegetables have never been planted before. I hope you join us next week as we continue fascinating discussions like this. We'll be talking about the book Revolution in a Bottle. It's about how the business TerraCycle is redefining green business. It's a company that makes useful stuff out of garbage. Travin is in tomorrow. Anthony Polina is in Wednesday, Thursday. Don't forget to check out equaltimeradio.com for podcasts of the shows that Travin and I do. Frankie Allen and Jack Donovan produced the show. Stay tuned for music with Jack Donovan. I'm Carl Ettenayer. Thanks for tuning in.